Just before we start today, are you a teacher? Most listeners aren't, because we aim this show at students. But if you are an educator of some form, I just wanted to let you know that I'm co-authoring a special series this month on effective studying with this week's podcast guest, Peps McRae, for his famous ultra-concise, ultra-high-value Evidence Snacks email newsletter. In the three-part series we've put together, I'm sharing some of my all-time favourite tips and tricks that I've learned over the years to help embed smarter study strategies in your school, helping students study smarter, not harder, going beyond the research recommendations to figure out exactly what we need to be telling students to help them put good ideas into practice. In the email series, I'm even giving away some of my teaching resources so you can pick up some ready-to-teach lessons so you can deliver these ideas directly into your school. So you get slides, a little video, and even a workbook for your learners. Follow the link in the episode description to catch up on any emails in the series that you might have missed so far, and then sign up to Peps's Evidence Snacks email list to get the rest of the series delivered directly to your inbox. For everyone else listening, all my non-teacher friends studying hard for their exams at school, university and more, I just wanted to say, especially if your exams are coming up soon over the next few weeks, hang in there, my friends, keep going, you've got this. And now, here's today's episode.
Welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast, helping you ace your exams at school and university through the psychology of high performance and the science of studying smarter, not harder. It's my pleasure to introduce your host, the Cambridge-trained memory psychologist and exam success coach, William Wadsworth!
Hello and welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast. Today, I've got something a little bit different for you. I want to share a couple of lessons from the course I'm running this month, The Scholar's Way. I'm incredibly passionate about this course. I want as many people as possible to do it. And so I've been absolutely thrilled to see it being so warmly received by students who've been taking it so far and hearing them say such great things about how it's been helping them find more clarity, consistency, and a point a lot of people have been making, you know, enjoyment in their studies. So I wanted to give a couple of the lessons a wider audience here on the Exam Study Expert Podcast. Most of the lessons in the course are below 5 minutes in length. The two I've chosen to share with you today are both a touch longer, but not by much, so it should still make for a fairly punchy and hopefully very high-impact episode for you today. The first lesson I'm going to play for you now is a powerful question to help you really laser focus in on what really matters most and help you prioritise your no doubt limited time accordingly. The second lesson, which you'll hear in the second half of the episode, is all about finding flow in your studies. Without further ado, let me hand right over to me for the first lesson for you today. Enjoy. Every year, the premier rowing crews at Oxford and Cambridge universities race each other down the Thames in London. It's a very famous race, just simply called the Boat Race. It was first held in 1829. Marc Durand, who was one of my own lecturers when I studied at Cambridge, once did an ethnography project. He's an ethnographer by trade. That means he studies people by living close quarters with them and just sort of studying them and observing them kind of from within a particular community. He once did a project with the Cambridge boat race crew for a season as they trained for the boat race 1 year. And the book he wrote about his experience is called The Last Amateurs. I should warn that the language in it is not child-friendly. I wanted to read a passage which is family-friendly, is safe for all viewers, because this passage just gives such a good flavour of boat race mentality and sets me up very nicely for today's mindset lesson that I want to share with you. International rowing is about trying to get the best possible result. So is the boat race, but there is a difference. At the Olympic Games, it is possible to win gold, silver, and bronze. For some people, these honours may be out of reach. Making the final or even getting to the Games is an incredible achievement. The boat race is completely different. The glory is in winning. There are no silver medals. There is no second place. You win or you lose. Defeat is taken extremely hard, not just as an individual or as a whole crew. The disappointment is felt by everyone involved, and even past blues, past crews of the boat race. In some strange way, that is what makes the boat race so special. One of the key insights from Marc Duron's projects with the boat race crew is on the decision-making process when it comes to making difficult calls about, for example, who does or doesn't make the final rowing crew, where they sit in the boat, training programs, all that kind of thing. It's an incredibly rigorous training process. You know, one of the most, I guess, professionalized amateur training processes in the world. They're amateurs. They're not professional sports people, but they behave as if they were professionals and take it extremely seriously. Many of them are past, you know, world champions and Olympic medalists themselves that have come to Oxford or Cambridge, particularly with the hope of being part of the boat race, the historic boat race. So Mark's real insight is kind of all these complicated decisions about how to best prepare and who should be in the boat, all that. All that is boiled down to one overriding question. What will make the boat go faster? What will make the boat go faster? Whatever it is, that's what we'll do. And I submit to you that this clarity, this beautiful, elegant simplicity is worth learning from and thinking about how you can apply in your own life. You know, in the case of a company or a business, the boat go faster for that business, that company, might be, well, how can we maximize our profits? Or if you're a charity, it might be, you know, how many acres of rainforest can we save? Or you know, whatever your aim as a charitable organization is. For us scholars, the question will generally be something along the lines of, what will score me the most extra marks in the exam or in your assignment? I think it's worth noting a couple of things about this question. It's free from judgment. So what will score me the most extra marks in the exam? It's not saying, how can we, in the case of the boat race question, you know, it's not saying, how can we row the race in under 17 minutes? It's not saying, how can we get an A? It's also free from competition. It's not saying, how can we beat Oxford? It's not saying, how can we come ahead of our classmates? No judgment, no competition. Instead, it's simply focused on that one variable that you can control, the one variable that really matters at the end of the day, which is, for the boat race crew, how fast the boat goes. Or for scholars, how many marks we score. Now, I feel a bit awkward saying that because I know there's more to scholarship than just scoring marks. But, you know, a big part of my drive is to help you play the game and get the results you're looking for in your exams and assignments. So I know there are other benefits as well. And it's important to learn not just to get the marks, but, you know, ultimately that's what a lot of people come to me for help for. So cut through the noise in your own scholarship, in your own study plan, in deciding what's right for you, what you should focus on, what you should do next, how much time you should spend on different things. Cut through all of that. Come back to the question, what will make your boat go faster? What will make you score the most extra marks? Once you have that clarity of purpose, you might be surprised at how much easier it is to start making sensible and effective decisions, particularly about what to prioritize in your studies. And we will come back and talk about more about prioritization tomorrow. But for now, what is your boat go faster question? What is your version of that one question that overrides everything else, that is the thing you're aiming towards? What is your boat go faster question? Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And please do take some time now or later to really think about the answer to that question. What will make the boat go faster for you? What is your version of that question? And what that might mean for you in terms of how to allocate that most limited of finite resources for so many of us, that is our available time. Next up, I want to talk to you about the magic of flow state. What is it? Why it matters? And how we can cultivate it. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to The Scholar's Way and to day 6. If you've made it this far, congratulations. We're nearly at the end of the first week. And I should particularly say at this junction, we're starting to move past the kind of heavy hitting, let's get you moving with your studies territory. we're now going to kind of move past that, and everything else for the rest of the 30-day process is going to be exploring other aspects of your scholarly mindset with the objective of helping you find as much fun and flow in your studies as possible. On the subject of flow, that is our topic for today. So, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is a psychologist who spent his life studying what makes humans truly happy. And he reached quite an interesting conclusion. The result of his lifetime of pondering was the very famous flow theory, based on the idea that happiness, like actual life satisfaction, is really just made up of how you're feeling moment to moment. And, you know, one of the ways we can feel good moment to moment is you know, pleasure, sensory pleasure, like, you know, eating a delicious meal or, you know, experiencing some really beautiful music. But he argued that was, you know, you can't kind of live life just purely going after moments of sheer hedonistic pleasure. We also need to kind of focus on like satisfaction. So like how you are deriving satisfaction from, you know, your job, if you have one, and for everybody listening to this, your studies, your scholarly pursuits. And he felt that people were at their most satisfied when they were in a state that he described as being in flow state. It's a sort of a genuinely satisfying state of consciousness during which people experience deep enjoyment. You may be feeling very creative, very productive. You get into that state, Mihai writes, when your challenges and skill level match. So it's the task isn't so easy for you that you're kind of bored or tuned out, but it's also not so incredibly challenging that you can't make progress and you're frustrated. It's when something is challenging enough to immerse you completely, engage you completely, but not so difficult that you're kind of getting anxious and frustrated about it. You become so immersed that you forget your worries and time just flies by. I don't know if you've ever had that experience of sitting down to work on something and then, you know, it's like an hour's gone and you're like, oh my gosh, where did that time go? And you're just so most immersed in the task. You were in flow. When does this happen in your life? For me, flow often comes when I get to write something. So write an article for the blog or write a chapter for a book. Often also happens when I write PowerPoint slides for workshops and presentations. And, you know, you see many examples of my PowerPoint slides elsewhere in the Study Smarter network, not for this course. This course is just you and me having a conversation. But I write a lot of slides and I'm often in flow state when I'm designing them. In both cases, when I stop to think about it, there are things that I actively do to nurture my ability to get into flow state. In both of those examples I just gave, so writing and making slides. In particular, I break up the process. So I don't ever, if I'm writing, I don't ever just open up a blank Word document and stare at an empty page. Rather, I plan out the structure first. I decide on perhaps the subheadings or the areas I want to talk about. I'll maybe outline a few bullets. And then I go back and fill it in and write the prose, write up the sentences and paragraphs. I can get into flow both in doing the outlining and in doing the writing up. But I don't think I would get into flow anywhere near as often if I was trying to do it all at the same time and do both the structuring like and the writing up as I went along. Just be too much. I'd like be constantly flitting between my thoughts about the big picture, my thoughts about the sentence or paragraph I was writing. It'd be too much. I'd be making far slower, far heavier going practice as a result. I wouldn't get into flow state. I think this is actually quite linked to some of the ideas we talked about elsewhere in the Study Smarter Network, particularly in the Total Memory Mastery course and in the Secrets of Memory Part 1 workshop, where we talked about cognitive overload and how breaking up tasks can often be the key, you know, as I was describing in that writing example. Breaking up tasks can often be the key to unlocking your ability to make faster and easier progress. So do go back and take a look at that course if you haven't already seen it. It's a really nice way to think about helping ways you can help yourself get into flow. Now, I think it's important to say you're not always going to be in flow. That's not our goal, like to expect to get into flow, you know, all day, every single day. Like realistically, it's not going to happen. But if we can create the conditions to make it that much easier to get into flow state, as I was describing with breaking up the tasks, that's obviously a really good thing. You may also want to think about, well, what are the tasks that for you are most likely to help you get into that state? And you may even use that information to help you make life decisions. So you may choose to take more courses or do more of a certain career path if the tasks involved in those courses or careers are tasks where you get into flow. If you do that, you will be in flow more often and you will have more satisfying and enjoyable days. And life is just a combination of days added together, so you'll have a more satisfying and enjoyable life. So my question for you today is quite simply, what are the tasks that are most likely to get you in flow state? What are you working on when you get into that state of flow? Wishing you every success, as always, in your studies and in finding flow. Well, I hope you enjoyed those two little lessons from The Scholar's Way. Before we go today, if you would enjoy waking up to a little lesson like this each morning for the next 30 days, then I'd warmly invite you to enrol on the full course. I've been running this as a live program for the past 2 or 3 weeks, releasing a lesson each day. But now you can sign up to the whole program on a self-paced basis, working through the lessons at your own speed. So anytime now or in the future, you can go to examstudyexpert.com/TSW to enrol in the full program on a self-paced basis and enjoy all 30 lessons at your own pace. There are 30 lessons just like these in total. So if you did one per day, it would take you the next 30 days to get through the whole program, just sort of 5 minutes each morning. Or if you wanted to take weekends off, you might take you close to the next 40 days. Either way, all lessons are available through your choice of either video lesson. So if you want me there on your phone screen talking to you, watch the videos. And I've also made it available via a private podcast feed. So you can pop on the mini podcast each morning while you're getting ready for the day or on your commute, and a nice convenient way to work through the course in audio format. The power of these 30 little reflections, 30 little nudges like the two I've shared with you today, all stacked on top of each other, adds up to really quite a significant shift in your life, I think. And that's the power of The Scholar's Way in helping you find focus, flow, and maybe even a little more fun in your studies, helping you zoom in on getting the things that matter done, making peace with what you can't get to, finding ways to rise to tougher challenges and feel comfortable and in control of the whole process. I'm really, really passionate about what the course can do for you, which is why I wanted to share at least a little of it on the full podcast, as I've done today. But if you'd like to go deeper and experience the full program, head, as I say, to examstudyexpert.com/TSW. This kind of mindset work really is the foundation on which everything else rests. So please do take the time to experience the full Scholar's Way program for yourself. Again, that's at examstudyexpert.com/TSW, as in The Scholar's Way, TSW. All that remains is for me to thank you so much, as always, for listening today and wishing you every success in your studies.
Just before you go, did you know you can hire William as your very own coach and mentor to show you the stress-free way to ace your exams by studying smarter, not harder? Find out how at examstudyexpert.com/coaching.